The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, text number 12, given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on the disappearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami, December 24, 1995, in Sri Mayapur Dham.
Translation: the seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastitade Sutarane. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami. So I will speak a little life sketch of Jiva Goswami and then make some application of the significance for ourselves in terms of the Siddhanta. For a brief telling of his life, we may turn to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Adi Lila chapter 10, the different trunks and branches of the tree of Lord Chaitanya, which symbolizes the spreading of Lord Chaitanya's movement all over the world, is described. And we read, on the western side were the 43rd, 44th, and 45th branches, Sri Sanatan, Sri Rupa, and Anupama. They were the best of all. And then the next verse. Among these branches, Rupa and Sanatana were principal. Anupama, Jiva Goswami, and others, headed by Rajendra, were their sub-branches. Purport. In the Gaura Ganodesh Deepika, it is said that Srila Jiva Goswami was formerly Vilasa Manjari Gopi. From his very childhood, Jiva Goswami was greatly fond of Srimad Bhagavatam. He later came to Navadvip to study Sanskrit, and following in the footsteps of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he circumambulated the entire Navadvip Dham. After visiting Navadvip Dham, he went to Benares to study Sanskrit under Madhusudana Vachaspati. And after finishing his studies in Benares, he went to Vrindavan and took shelter of his uncles, Sri Rupa and Sanatana. This is described in the Bhakti Ratnakara. As far as our information goes, Srila Jiva Goswami composed and edited at least 25 books. So they're listed there. I won't mention them all. But our most prominent, mentioned as numbers 19 through 25, are the seven Sandarbhas. After the disappearance of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan, Srila Jiva Goswami became the Acharya of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, Orissa, and the rest of the world. And it is he who used to guide them in their devotional service. In Vrindavan, he established the Radha Damodar Temple, where we had the opportunity to live and retire until the age of 65, when we decided to come to the United States of America. When Jiva Goswami was still present, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami compiled his famous Chaitanya Charitamrita. Later, Jiva Goswami inspired Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Dukhi Krishnadas to preach Krishna consciousness in Bengal. Jiva Goswami was informed that all the manuscripts that were collected from Vrindavan and sent to Bengal for preaching purposes were plundered near Vishnupura in Bengal. But later he received the information that the books had been recovered. Srila Jiva Goswami awarded the designation of Kaviraj to Ramachandra Singh, a disciple of Srinivasacharya, and his younger brother Govinda. While Jiva Goswami was alive, Srimati Janavi Devi, the pleasure potency of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, went to Vrindavan with a few devotees. Jiva Goswami was very kind to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Vaishnavas from Bengal. Whoever went to Vrindavan, he provided with a residence and prasad. His disciple, Krishnadas Adhikari, listed all the books of the Goswamis in his diary. There are many other fascinating details about his life. I'll just mention a couple of very significant is the fact that he actually, although much younger than the other Goswamis, he was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya and met him when Jiva Goswami was just a baby. When Lord Chaitanya visited the home of his father, Jiva's father is Anupama, and his uncles are Rupa and Sanatana. So in their home in Ramakeli, Lord Chaitanya came and he gave the dust at his lotus feet to the little baby, indicating that he would become a great soul. And although he was only a baby, he kept the impression of the form of Lord Chaitanya always in his heart. But sometimes lamented that he had not been present for all the pastimes. In this purport by Prabhupada, he goes on to tell some accusations that are made against Jiva Goswami falsely by Sahajiyas. I'll mention one of them. It's a very famous story of some puffed up scholar who went and challenged Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. He used to go around debating and collecting the statements of defeat of persons he opposed. So he asked Rupa Goswami to debate. And not wanting to be bothered by this nonsense person, Rupa Goswami said, "Well, what do you want?" He said, "I want you to sign a paper that I have defeated you." So he said, "All right, here, I sign it. Go away." But as Prabhupada tells it, one version, that Jiva Goswami was outside and he said, "What is that paper?" He said, "I just defeated your uncle." He said, "Then you talk with me." And Prabhupada said Jiva Goswami practically killed him with arguments and defeated him very soundly. So the man went away humiliated. But when Rupa Goswami learned of this, he was angry with Jiva Goswami that this was arrogant of you. We were supposed to be very meek and humble, Trinadapi, Sanichena, Saroipa, Sahishana. And you have displayed this spirit of superior mentality over him. This is not good. This is not the mood of Vrindavan. You should leave Vrindavan. So he was chastised like that, and he actually was, for the time being, banished from Vrindavan by the order of Rupa Goswami. Later, he was found in a very poor condition of lamentation and physical ill health by Sanatana Goswami, who then also preached to Rupa Goswami and said, "You should be kind to Jivas." And then he was brought back. But both Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami are correct in their behavior in this pastime. Certainly Jiva Goswami is not to be found fault with, because Rupa Goswami was teaching humility, which is the gem of all the Vaishnavas. For ourselves, we should not be interested in trying to increase our prestige over somebody else. If somebody wants to increase their prestige at my expense, then let him do it. Don't fight back that, "No, I am better than you." But the point is that Jiva Goswami didn't like it that the Vaishnava Rupa Goswami was being insulted. So in the defense of the Vaishnava, even the author of the verse, Chanadapi Sini Chena, he became angry at Jaghai and Madhai and was ready to kill them. So Jiva Goswami's defense of Rupa Goswami is very praiseworthy. The main thing that comes to mind about Jiva Goswami is that he was the greatest Vaishnav philosopher. And there's a statement by Prabhupada on this in Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. Where, this is in the 7th chapter of Adi Leela, where the point comes up that Lord Chaitanya is with the Mayavadis, headed by Prakashananda, and they're questioning him, why are you not studying Vedanta Sutra? Why are you just chanting and dancing like a sentimentalist? So in that context, correcting this misunderstanding or this accusation, Prabhupada says, the Vaishnavas are by far the greatest philosophers in the world, and the greatest among them was Srila Jiva Goswami, Prabhu, whose philosophy was again presented less than 400 years later by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. Therefore, one must know very well that Vaishnava philosophers are not sentimentalists or cheap devotees like the Sahajiyas. So, this is a significant comparison or statement that Jiva Goswami's philosophy was represented by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this provides an important link for us between ourselves and Jiva Goswami. Of course, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati imbibed all the acharyas, all the six Goswamis and all Vedic literature of Vyasadeva and so on. So why would but he certainly was fully realized in the presentation of Jiva Goswami. And like Jiva Goswami, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a highly intellectual philosopher who could present, who did present the philosophy for the intelligentsia. And so when we read Prabhupada's books, we also get the essence of Jiva Goswami. Because he, Prabhupada, took the instructions of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wholeheartedly. We may, some of us, when these, either those who read Sanskrit or when the proper authorized translations are made available, we may want to study the Satsandarbha of Jiva Goswami or not. But if you do study, you'll find actually that everything has been taught in Prabhupada's books about this. Even down to the analogies, quoted references, and so on. Therefore, the philosophy of Jiva Goswami through Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is taught by Srila Prabhupada. As you know, Lord Chaitanya, he didn't systematize his philosophy. He didn't write it down. Although Prabhupada says that his Shikshastakam is actually the basis for all the volumes and volumes of literature that the Goswamis wrote. But Jiva Goswami wrote 25 books. And in those books, we could call him in Western terms a theologian. He organized the philosophy made it into a system which could be studied and by comparison could show the superiority of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Now, I'd like to return to this Srimad Bhagavatam verse and say why I picked it out on the occasion of Jiva Goswami's disappearance day. The verse says that the seriously inquisitive student should realize the Absolute Truth by being equipped with knowledge and detachment. In terms of what he has heard from Vedanta Shruti while engaged in devotional service. This emphasizes that Krishna consciousness devotees are responsible to learn philosophy so that we're not guilty of the charges made by Prakashananda type learned person, so-called learned person, that Vaishnavas are sentimental. Vaishnavas are not capable, they say, of meditating on the Absolute Truth in the impersonal form, so they become purified by singing bhajans and rendering some service, which in their estimation is ultimately material activity. So this is a very insulting description of bhakti. And we have to do more than just say, well, we have a Jiva Goswami, he was the greatest philosopher. And if they say, well, what was Jiva Goswami teaching? You say, I don't know. In one sense, it's enough that you just chant Hare Krishna. But if you want to preach, then you have to know the philosophy. And Prabhupada wants us to preach. In fact, we need the philosophy also to be fixed up, because there's so much opposition that we are always liable to hear that may create doubts. So, to know the Absolute Truth, you have to know Siddhanta. From this purport, Tatsvaradhana Muniyo, Prabhupada writes, devotional service is not meant for a less intelligent class of transcendentalists. A sincere devotee must therefore be prepared to hear the Vedic literature, like the Upanishads, Vedanta, and other literatures left by the previous authorities or Goswamis for the benefit of his progress. Without hearing such literatures, one cannot make actual progress. And without hearing and following the instructions, the show of devotional service becomes worthless and a sort of disturbance on the path of devotional service. Prabhupada knew that some devotees joined this movement out of infatuation, saying that some of my friends of mine have joined this movement, let me try. Which isn't bad for a start. That's the devotee on the lowest platform. But we have to come up to the next platform. Jai Radha Madhava. Unless, therefore, devotional service is established on the principles of Shruti, Smriti, Purana, and Pancharatra, authorities, the make show of devotional service should at once be rejected. So, this is the purport of this important verse in the first canto, stating the requirements of the devotee to understand by hearing Vedic literature in parampara. This is contained in Prabhupada's name, Bhakti Vedanta, that he had the sentiment of love of God and understood Krishna, the beloved object, in terms of Vedic conclusion or Vedanta. Bhakti Vedanta. Therefore, when we say devotees should be learned, it doesn't mean that we should become some kind of a mental speculator known as a bookworm or academic kind of philosophizing, but to know basically what Prabhupada has given. The the meeting of Lord Chaitanya with the followers of Prakasananda revealed this, where they asked him, why don't you study Vedanta? So he said, my spiritual master called me a fool. Now, Prabhupada says that the Sahajiyas, they take advantage of this verse and say that we shouldn't study philosophy. So, first of all, there's the impersonalists who criticize bhakti because they say the bhaktas don't study. And the Sahajiyas, their inclination is for bhakti, for Krishna. But they do it without authorized understanding of the philosophy. They take it very cheaply that one can enter the rasa of the rasa dance of Radha Krishna. And they make great blunders in understanding. So when they see the authorized Vaishnavas studying Jiva Goswami and studying the books, they say, oh, these are not real devotees. As real devotees don't read books like Mayavadi, studying Vedanta. So this is their foolishness. So in that section, Prabhupada points out that devotees must know Vedanta. We don't avoid Vedanta. But you must know it along with the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And this is what Lord Chaitanya said. My spiritual master told me, don't read Vedanta, chant Hare Krishna. So if you study Vedanta and you don't come to the conclusion to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, then this is dry mental speculation. We have to have philosophy and religion. Philosophy without religion is dry mental speculation. Religion without philosophy? No. That can become sentimental or even fanatical. Then how do we learn Vedanta? It's very difficult to understand Vedanta commentary unless you know Sanskrit grammar and you're a very good logician. Well, Lord Chaitanya has made it accessible by presenting the conclusions of Vedanta as given by his followers, and as I said, the most prominent philosopher, Jiva Goswami, is present in Srila Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta purport. So there, this aspect I have tried to emphasize on Jiva Goswami's appearance and disappearance day, that we should become philosophers. Therefore, we are Rupanugas, we're also Jivanugas by studying Prabhupada's books. If one may ask, but isn't there a limit to this, this kind of book study? How should it be properly done in connection with various other activities? There is a warning about the kind of study that one should do and should not do. And this is given in Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Sanatana Goswami, where he's listing the principles of devotional service by number. And he comes up to number 13, one should not accept an unlimited number of disciples. Number 14, one should not partially study many scriptures just to be able to give references and expand explanations. And Prabhupada writes in the purport to this, one should not partially study a book just to pose oneself as a great scholar by being able to refer to scriptures. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have therefore limited our study of Vedic literatures to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. These four works are sufficient for preaching purposes. They are adequate for the understanding of the philosophy and the spreading of missionary activities all over the world. If one studies a particular book, he must do so thoroughly. That is the principle. By thoroughly studying a limited number of books, one can understand the philosophy. Lord Chaitanya, early in his life, met one scholar, Tapan Mishra. And at that time, it's described Tapan Mishra studied many books, but he didn't know sadhya or sadhana. He didn't know the goal of life, and he didn't know the way to attain the goal of life. And Prabhupada said, this kind of person is similar to people in the West who loiter here and there collecting many books without reading them. So we shouldn't do a version of that in the name of Krishna consciousness, picking up any and every book that seems to have anything to do with the search for the absolute truth, and reading a little of it here, a little of it there, just to either to titillate our brain or to impress people that I have read so many books and so on. But thoroughly study the most important books. This is better. This is recommended here. And it's taught by Lord Chaitanya not to try to become a certain kind of scholar, but become a real scholar. Atmatattva Prabhu has made his presentation. Four books are enough, where he shows that all the wealth of all the Vedic literature coming down in different branches is actually in these four books. And that's a very convincing presentation that he makes. And it comes, his ambition to do that comes from this statement by Prabhupada. So we're very fortunate, and as tiny followers, we feel very proud to have such a great philosopher in our sampradaya, who was not only very learned, but fully immersed in the nectar of Radha Krishna pastimes in Vrindavan. And so we've tried to just speak whatever we could, a little bit, appreciation on this appearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami, and try to see how we can actually follow him by becoming fixed up in Krishna conscious teaching to further our devotional service in this great movement, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? You mean to read it directly? Yes. Need? Not absolutely, but it's not wrong. First of all, everyone should thoroughly assimilate these books, the Prabhupada's books. And then he can read other authorized books. In Prabhupada's last days, we asked him some questions to make clear what we would do after his disappearance. And one of the questions was, it may seem naive, but actually it's a question which, if it hadn't been asked, one might question. So the question was, should there be more Sanskrit books translated after you're not translating? He said yes, but the translators have to be very expert. So, after you study Prabhupada's books, if you're also very scholarly inclined, you can study Jiva Goswami in authorized translation. Maharaj, would you like to make any comment on that question? Is it? Okay. Other questions? All right.